You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Back in action, along with Julian. They're producing the show. Jacob, it's been a minute, man. How are you?
Oh, Anita, how I missed you. How I missed you so much.
Oh, you are too sweet. You are too sweet. We are in the thick of March Madness. Right now, we've got a few games that are taking place. Texas A&M opened up a can of you-know-what against Nebraska. They're up 90-70 against Nebraska with about 5 minutes left in the game. And Vermont keeping close against Duke. Duke is up 56-47, but too close for comfort. I'm just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. I mean, there's been some upsets. Also, Grambling keeping it close against Purdue. Purdue is up 36-27. And Alabama up in Charleston, 51-34. Still, there's quite a few games still left to be had tonight. Longwood going against the number one seed in the South region, going up against Houston. James Madison, who I absolutely love, my best bet today. I love James Madison getting the 5.5 against Wisconsin. That's coming your way at 9:40. TCU going up against Utah State at 9:55. I like Utah State. Again, they're getting the points at +3.5. And Grand Canyon going up against St. Mary's. That's the late game, 10 p.m. If you're going to stay late, if you're going to stay up late, it's great. Grand Canyon, again, I like Grand Canyon getting the points at +5.5. I'm all about the dogs. It's one thing, again, this is a sports gambling show. I'm going to give picks to you. I'm going to get you ready to play these games, as well as we're going to talk some NBA as the Knicks getting ready to go up against the Nets tomorrow afternoon. I'm not going to have my radio show tomorrow afternoon. I've been preempted because the Knicks are playing. I totally understand. My feelings aren't hurt. I get it. We are the station for the Knicks, so you'll be able to listen to that game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Fat Jack, as well as Lee Sterling, going to join me on the program tonight. We'll break those games down for you, talking all things college hoops, getting you ready for March Madness, the second round that kicks off tomorrow and, of course, into Sunday. And Cynthia Freeland's going to be joining us as well. Even though we are in the thick of March Madness, it's always good to talk some NFL, as free agency was just absolutely insane. It's now on the back burner because March Madness is on the front burner, but always great to have Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network join us and talk about what the Jets have done, what the Giants have done, and what futures bets are out there right there. There's futures bets out there right now. not just with the Giants and the Jets, but all teams in the NFL based on all that happened in free agency. And free agency is still not done yet, by the way. There's still quite a few players that do not have homes as of yet, which I find to be pretty interesting. And of course, we're over a month away from the NFL draft, so teams are going to look even much more different after that. But still, talking about the NFL landscape with Cynthia Freeland, so she'll be joining us on the show. But like I said, it's one thing to talk about games that we're going to wager on in regard to odds and whatnot, who's favored, overs, over-unders, all that. But it's another to look at your bracket and go, this is a complete disaster. And I will say this. Now, first things first, before we even go even further, before we started the show, I asked Jacob and Julian, hey, how are you guys doing in your bracket? You guys have a bracket, right? And both of them replied, no. Why is that, Jacob? How is it that you work for... Exactly. How is it that you work for ESPN, you work for a sports talk radio station, and you don't have a March Madness bracket? How is that possible?
Well, Anita, in the shuffle of creating the Drop Madness and working with Barton Hahn on our brackets for that show, it slipped my mind. And honestly, I've been placing...
What?
Yeah, honestly. I've just been...
Slipped your mind? What do you mean, slip? It's March Madness. What do you mean, slipped your mind? It should be on the forefront. It should be the first thing you should be thinking about.
I explained it to Julian, too. This is probably the least amount of college basketball I watched this year. which is surprising. I love basketball, but this year just hasn't been exciting to me. At least on the men's side, I can say that.
Okay, well, okay, time out. Full disclosure, I have so much going on. I don't start watching college basketball until the conference championships. So I didn't watch any of these teams play during the regular season. How could I? It's taking place during football season, let alone during the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, so, I just... It was just, one of those listen, that I'm wasn't just, at the top like, of my list.
I'm just being devil's advocate here. Being devil's advocate here.
Now, if Anita Marks would have, passed me a cheat sheet and passed along her bracket, maybe I would be on to the next round. I'm just saying.
Okay, and I had quite a few people who reached out to me and said, "Hey, can you send me your bracket?" And I did. They're probably regretting that right now. But nonetheless, I would have been happy to send you my bracket.
You know what? All right.
So anyway,
we got to get one. We got to get one done for the women's. Hopefully, if not, I'm going to be texting you from here to next March for a bracket. I'm telling you, I'm depending.
Oh,
on
what? Well, the women started today, right? Didn't the women's tournament start today?
I think today and tomorrow. Yeah.
Right. You could have wagered that. You could have wagered South Carolina at -120 or the field at like +110. What would you in the women's tournament? And so if you would have had the field, obviously you would have had Caitlin Clark in Iowa. You would have had LSU, Notre Dame.
I'm taking a field.
So you,
as great as you, South you Carolina could, season was this season, this year, I'm taking a field.
See, I don't think anybody could touch South Carolina. I would have gone South Carolina, and especially at -120, not a lot of juice. Not a lot of juice you got to lay. $120 to win 100. That's not bad.
On a producer salary, I see what I could do.
Let's open up the phone lines. 800-919-3776. How's your who's gonna check you, boo? How's your bracket looking? Because right now my bracket is not looking well, but again we haven't even we're still in the first round, right? Where did I go wrong? I had FAU more so than Northwestern. So that was to me that was a toss up, right? That was a toss up for me. That those 8-9s are toss ups to me. So, but I was feeling FAU. Came down to the wire, went into overtime, and Northwestern just blew up. They were hitting threes like nobody's business. San Diego State and UAB, kind of 50-50. Again, I was feeling UAB. I took San Diego State in a lot of places, so it's that. Yale upsetting Auburn. Listen, there's a lot of people who had Auburn beating UConn. I know a number of people who've got UConn going all the way to the Final Four. So that gives me, did I take Yale? No, but I still have UConn coming out of the East in the majority of my brackets, if not all of them. So that gives me a little bit more life. I did have Duquesne beating BYU. So I will toot my horn and pat my back in regard to that. I did have Illinois. I loved Drake. Where I went wrong in this East region is I love Drake, and I had Drake going all the way to the Elite Eight. So them losing to Washington State totally just killed me. They got into foul trouble. If you watched that game late last night, that's really what happened. They got into foul trouble. They lost their big man, and that was it. Iowa State, no surprise there. So that's what the East looks like right now. I'm still feeling UConn, and let me call that up right now. I'm still feeling UConn to come out of the East. I want to look at some of the futures bets out here and just to see where they're at right now. Hopefully they're still posted teams futures. So region winner. So UConn -150 right now to come out of the East, considering that Auburn was upset by Yale. I still think that's a solid bet. The one team that I think in the East that can beat UConn to represent the East is Iowa State, especially since Drake did not advance. So, and listen, no disrespect to Illinois, they can score. But for me, UConn, and if it's minus 150, I think that's pretty solid. I think that's pretty solid. Quick break. We come back. We will continue to do a deep dive into the brackets, share with you what the scores are right now with games that are still remaining, and some of the futures bets out there that you could make after day two of the tournament. Also, again, Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network is going to be joining us around 9:30. We'll switch gears. We'll talk a little NFL. Not a lot of NFL free agency news the last 24 hours because it's been March Madness, but still, I thought it'd be great because the Jets and the Giants made quite a few moves. I thought it'd be great to get Cynthia Freeland on the program and talk some futures bets pertaining to those two programs, those two organizations as well. But we get back, we'll open up the phone lines. What does your bracket look like? Is there a futures bet out there that you still are hanging on to? Like I said, UConn minus 150 to come out of the East, but you could bet Iowa State to upset UConn and to make it to the Final Four at plus 360. Is that more enticing to you? Curious. 800-919-3776. Anita Marks with you. It's Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Texas A&M just sealed the deal. They beat Nebraska. Get it out, Anita. 60-40 for me in my bracket. 60% of the time I had Nebraska advancing. 40% of the time I had Texas A&M advancing. So it just continues to get worse for me in this bracket, I tell you. Okay, so guys, I want you to chime in on this because I had a little experiment. I wouldn't call it little. So this is what I did. And you guys, so hold on. Texas A&M won, so that's another 10. Hold on 1 second. So 253, 50. Okay, so here's my experiment. This is what I did. I took $10. And I put $10 on every dog money line for the tournament. Do you understand?
Yeah, I got it. Wait, so what was the line on it?
Well, it's different lines. What I'm saying is I took $10.
Okay.
And I put $10 on every dog money line.
Every dog money line. Okay.
Right. So 31 games.
Mm-hmm.
From yesterday and today, 31 games. For every game, I took $10 and I put it on the dog money line. Understand?
I got you, yeah.
Okay. So after yesterday, when yesterday was complete, so that's a $310 investment. Understand?
Yeah, you
following me?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm out $310. After yesterday, I was at $148.50. Now, keep in mind, I was expecting McNeese State to win, which would have been plus 240. It'd be another $24. I was expecting Samford to win. That was plus 230. That would have been another $23. There were some dogs that I was expecting more so to win. Obviously, Oakland winning plus 725, so $72.50, which was huge, right? So, so after yesterday, I was at 148.50. So kind of halfway there, right? In regard to breaking even, if not making money, right? So tonight, Northwestern got me another $13. Clemson got me another $12. Yale got me $60. Colorado got me $10. Texas A&M just got me another $10. So I'm at $253.50. So I'm less than $50 away to break even. And again, this is just an experiment. I'm just curious. I'm going to do this all tournament long. Understand? So, are you following me? You're really quiet over there. Okay. All right. So, I'm looking to see is the Vermont game, is that done? Is that finished? I don't have the final here in front of me. Yeah. So Duke won. So Vermont's out. That would have been +525. That would have been $52.56. Grambling is keeping it close, although I do believe Purdue's going to win. Charleston, Alabama's going to win. Here's where I really can make my money. I love James Madison. I'm going to give you that pick in just a minute. I love Utah State and I love Grand Canyon. So again, I'm gonna do this throughout the tournament. So my gut's telling me that when it's all said and done, I'm gonna break even here in regard to the first round, but I'm gonna continue to play this, where I'm gonna take $10, and I'm gonna put $10 on every dog, and then at the end of the tournament we'll see, am I in the red? Am I in the green? Or am I the black? Whatever. Are you curious how this result is going to end?
I am. I'm somewhat curious. I think you're probably, the way it's looking, at least for the first round, you're probably going to be maybe like $50 to $60 over of what you would.
I don't think so. I think I like James Madison, I like Utah State, and I like Grand Canyon. I think I'm gonna be even for the first round. But yeah, I'm gonna continue to do this. I think this is an interesting and fun experiment.
Now, when you saw you were watching Yale and Auburn, right?
Yes.
Was those one of those games where you just wish you put down a little more just because, you know, you got paid out 60?
Well, of course. Of course. But then that would ruin my experiment. Right?
Yeah, this is why I say you're the professional,
and that's the most unexpected, right? Yale and Oakland,
yeah. Bruce Pearl led team.
The games that I thought we were going to see legit upsets. Duquesne, like I said, that was +380, so I made $38 there, right? And again, we're going off $10 money line. I'm trying to think the other, McNeese would have been $24.
I think the McNeese one, I had to giggle a little because, you know, some of those, you could just tell that there is not going to be it.
Yeah, but going in, from the beginning, it was not good. But this Gonzaga team, they're just, you know, they looked great against McNeese. I mean, listen, they played unbelievably. They played better in that game against McNeese State than we've seen them play all season long. But nonetheless, Samford would have got me another $23. Western Kentucky would have gotten me $80. So anyway, I you know, there's a few dogs here that I thought would had a real good shot of pulling up an upset, that it didn't happen. So again, to your point, I'm confident that I'm going to break even after the first round, and then we'll see what happens as we move forward. But I'm intrigued to see at the end of the tournament, will I be up?
I do like your experiment though, and now it has me intrigued enough to where I'm looking at some of the dogs for tomorrow's game, for round of 32, and it's a couple that I might be interested in taking, like a Oregon, maybe even a Texas with the way they play defense. I mean, Tennessee is tough, but I do probably like that matchup out of that.
Hold on one second. I'm going to call up because I'm on the futures bets right now. So in regard to tomorrow, okay. So here's how it stands. Dayton plus 370 on the money line against Arizona. Okay. Kansas plus 160 on the money line against Gonzaga. Again, I wasn't expecting Gonzaga to be here. They have not played well all season. And Kansas, both these teams, I did not expect either of those teams to be there. Just FYI. Michigan State plus 140 against North Carolina. Washington State plus 235 against Iowa State. Oakland plus 220 against NC State. And listen, NC State, regular season, okay, not great. Turned it on in the conference championship. And I did not expect them to win in advance. So there's that. Texas plus 220 against Tennessee. A lot of people have Texas advancing. So that's not bad. Duquesne plus 380 against Illinois. I could see it. I like this Duquesne team. I think they're very underrated. Oregon plus 185 against Creighton. I do like Creighton. Creighton's in my Final Four, FYI. So I have confidence that I could actually gain some momentum and some money tomorrow, for sure. So we'll see what happens. By the way, we get back. Cynthia Freeland's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL futures out there based on what has happened in free agency. But before we do, I'm going to give you my James Madison play because that tip-off is in about 10 minutes. And again, I love James Madison. This is my best bet. This is my favorite bet today in college basketball. Okay? They're getting 5.5 against Wisconsin. Here's all the reasons why. They've won 13 straight. 31-3 on the season. They've only lost 3 times this season. They're coming off a real dominant performance in the Sun Belt tournament final. They're a veteran team. They've got a lot of seniors, a lot of old guys on that team. They average 85 points a game. They're shooting 54%. Defensively, 20% turnover rate. They're forcing turnovers 20% of the possessions of their opponents. Also, they're holding their opponents to below 30% from three-point range. So love James Madison. Wisconsin, overrated in the Big Ten. Got hot at the right time, 3-8 before the Big Ten tournament, by the way. And also they ranked 274th in effective field goal percentage defense. They're hot and cold. They've got these scoring lags that happen. Can't do that against James Madison. Again, this is my favorite play today in college basketball. So get on it. Tip-off is in 10 minutes. Quick break. We're back. Cynthia Freeland will join us. We'll talk some NFL odds, futures odds, pertaining to the Giants and the Jets when we get back right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in, Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. I know we are in the midst of March Madness, and madness it is, but we still have a little time to talk some NFL, considering kind of like NFL free agencies died down a little bit, or maybe it's been put on the back burner because March Madness is on the front burner. But with that being said, Cynthia, do you partake in March Madness? Do you have a bracket? Is it busted yet?
It's not busted. Well, I mean, Kentucky busted it, but I only had them winning the one game, so not too bad. But it's, you know, it's always busted. It's never perfect, but my winner's still in it. I went with, you know, UConn mostly because Gordy is a Husky. So when it came down to it, I had to pick between Husky, non-Husky. I'm going to go Husky every time.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I had a lot of, you know, like, I will say this. I did have somebody's ringing my bell. So of course, I know this is what happens, you know, live radio. So I did have like a lot, like I did have Duquesne. I will pat myself on the back for that. I did not have Oakland beating Kentucky, but like I had New Mexico going far. I had Drake going far, you know, I had a few that, you know, so as of right now, my bracket's busted. We'll see as we get into the Sweet 16 and of course the Final Four, if I could recoup some points. But nonetheless, wanted to have you on, obviously, to talk some NFL. Let's start with the Jets, right? A lot of exciting stuff going on for Jets fans right now. Tyron Smith is signed to come in to protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. They bring in Mike Williams, even though he's coming off of a major surgery. Your thoughts on what the Jets were able to do?
Look, the Jets were in an interesting spot where, you know, I think everyone was like, what are they going to do with the O-line? And what are they going to do with their receiver position? I feel like those are the two questions coming into it. And I believe that these are just initial answers to those questions, meaning I wouldn't be surprised if they doubled down in the draft and added more to these positions. But they really found themselves in the spot where, you know, last year they went out and they got the big dog. But unfortunately, it didn't really work out for that to happen. I love also the move to bring in Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback. So I think they've made some really, like, it doesn't seem as sexy because last year was so sexy bringing Aaron Rodgers in. But this year, I think those moves are more meaningful and more impactful and will really, really help bolster the team around Aaron Rodgers and his return.
Yeah, so right now, the Jets to win the division, plus 235 to make the playoffs, minus 135. Here's the thing, though, right? It's all going to come down. Can Aaron Rodgers stay healthy? Coming off this Achilles surgery, he's going to be 41 this year, heading into December, I believe. So really, I mean, that's really what you're wagering on. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, Cynthia, do you have them winning the division over the Bills and over the Dolphins and over the Patriots?
I mean, this division is super interesting because both the Bills and the Dolphins had some massive cap constraints that they needed to get around. We saw them shed, even though the cap went up more than everyone anticipated. I think all that shedding is going to make it really hard for them. So to me, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, it really is going to be about whether or not let's not even make him have to play all of the games. Let's just say he plays all but three games. If Tyrod Taylor's starting three and the rest are started by Aaron Rodgers, like, I think this is, in fact, the Jets division to lose.
Oh, that is music to the ears of many Jets fans. Trust me. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, taking some time out of our March Madness calendar to talk some NFL. Again, free agency was fast and furious. It has died down a little bit. Let's talk about what's going on with the Giants. Their big signing on the defensive side, Brian Burns, added with Dexter Lawrence and Thibodeau. A lot of people expecting their front seven to be quite fearsome. That's for sure. They signed Drew Lock to be Daniel Jones's backup. They lose Saquon Barkley. They bring in Singletary. They sign wide receiver McKenzie. They definitely improved the offensive line. The Dallas Cowboys are favored to win this division, by the way, at plus 125, more so than the Eagles at plus 135. The Giants to win this division is 10-1. And for them to make the playoffs, 4-1. So your thoughts on what the Giants were able to do, Cynthia?
I mean, I wish I could just fade the Cowboys winning the division because I feel like I wish I could short that if it was a stock. I maintain that position because I don't think the Cowboys have done really anything that I'm really impressed with in this free agency period at all. But I think it's going to come down to a couple of things for the Giants. And number one, I know McKenzie's good, but we need to see a little bit more from that top end wide receiver situation. I think that's going to be a big deal. I'm curious what's going on with the secondary as well. We know the front of the defense is going to be a scary one, but there's a lot of other questions. So let's start with that, you know, and see how it goes. Right now it forecasts for me to be the Eagles division, which I know Giants fans don't like to hear, but I don't know. It's very hard to see how they got two great coordinators this season and they're returning a lot of formidable players and they had a nice free agency as well. So it's very hard for me to see how it's not the Eagles to lose at this point.
Let's talk about also, not only can you wager whether these teams are going to win their divisions, whether or not they're going to go to the playoffs or not based on what they've done so far. And obviously the draft is the end of April, so we still have a ways away, but you can also wager on who you think these teams, the position they're going to draft, the player they're going to draft. So the Jets right now, tight end, to them for them to pick their first overall pick in the first round to be tight end, and considering all the quote-unquote needs that needed to be filled in free agency, which Joe Douglas has done an admirable job in doing so, now they can be in a position where they can get Bowers, who's going to be sitting there, hopefully. That's going to be a tough, really unbelievable, talented player to pass up on, especially on the offensive side of the ball to help Aaron Rodgers. So tight end right now favored to be the position the Jets are going to take first in the first round at plus 125. Your thoughts?
Wow, I didn't know that. I would guess wide receiver if I have to look at how things will shake out, because I think there are three top-end wide receivers, all of which would be great additions. I agree Brock Bowers is great. However, I feel like the opportunity to have maybe a Malik Nabers could be hard to pass up. So I can see both happening. I don't know. I wouldn't put my money on it, but if you know more than me, maybe that's a good option. I just wouldn't say I wouldn't put my money on tight end for them.
Tight end plus 125, offensive line plus 175, wide receiver plus 275, defensive end 11-1. Let's go to the NFC East for the Giants right now. Wide receiver to be selected with that number 6 pick, minus 175, quarterback plus 125, offensive line 9-1, tight end 30-1. What say you?
I can see why. I certainly can see why these numbers have netted out where they are. I guess I just would say there's some value in that, in thinking at least about the quarterback position. 6 is an interesting, like, they're picking an interesting spot. They were at the pro days out here. I don't think necessarily, you know, Caleb Williams will be in the market. I think everyone's just trying to understand who he is and what they're looking at from him. But I also think, like, you know, I wouldn't put it past, like, there could be an opportunity to look at that quarterback position just on the sheer fact that, you know, look, these contracts for quarterbacks are very expensive. We saw a lot more movement. Things aren't like they used to be, where you never get rid of a quarterback with a contract. Look at Russell Wilson, et cetera. But that might be where the value is in terms of the betting market.
Before we move on to bigger picture, there's some talk and speculation that the Giants might trade up. Let's say a lot of people are expecting the first three picks to go quarterback, 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 right? Like Caleb Williams one. There's some feel that Jalen Daniels is going to go number two. Some people that feel that Drake May is going to go number two. And then, of course, who's ever still there at three, the Patriots are going to be sitting here and receiving a ton of calls and a ton of offers. And the Giants might be one of those teams. If you, based on your analysis, you were at the combine, based on the conversations you've had with general managers, scouts, what have you, your own analysis, how would you rank these quarterbacks? Who would you want to be your next quarterback for the next decade out of the top three, Cynthia?
I'm looking at, so the assumption for me would be that I'm going to surround them with the right type of surrounding cast for their specific skill sets. They're not the same player, interchangeable in the least. They're different. There's differences. Now, the top three that you mentioned are all guys with great upsides. To me, I think the guy with the highest upside, the one who could be the biggest talent going forward, is Jaden Daniels from LSU. I like him the most. Then I like Drake May. Then I like Caleb Williams. I know that's opposite of what a lot of the conventional wisdom is, but everything I've done, all the work I've done on them, you know, visually as well as through computer vision, meaning all the coding I've done on them, to me, Jaden Daniels has an amazing upside. I also think JJ McCarthy could be in a position where he's not, the upside isn't as high as maybe Jaden Daniels, but I think he has a much better trajectory than perhaps being the fourth quarterback taken. Although he has more specific needs based on, we don't know certain, he has holes in his resume compared to some of these other guys.
Yeah, it's been Drake May number one for me for quite a while, and it gets stronger each and every week, that's for sure. All right, big picture before we let you go. What team do you think has improved the most in free agency? The Texans, the Eagles, Atlanta, the Steelers? What team do you feel has improved the most after free agency?
Well, I think in terms of like the moves that they've made, the Houston Texans are probably the best position in terms of, you know, they also re-signed their own guys. Dalton Schultz coming back is massive. But the one that improved their position in the division and in the potential for going to the postseason is certainly the Falcons. The NFC South is still a total mess. Very achievable division. And when you go out and solve for the hardest puzzle piece in all of pro sports, and that's the quarterback, you put in a quarterback. Maybe he's not, you know, top two quarterback. Who cares? The addition of him, Kirk Cousins, to that team in that division gives them so much more of an offseason chance than if you were to, you know, the incremental difference. Like Texans still have, you know, Anthony Richardson coming back for the Colts. That's going to be hard for the Texans. I don't know what's going on with the Titans, but the Jags are still really good. That's a harder division than the NFC South, even though Tampa Bay returned many of their players.
Right now, you could wager that Atlanta is going to win the NFC South at minus 130. Just FYI, Atlanta minus 130, the Bucs 3-1, the Saints plus 380, and the Carolina Panthers 15-1. In the AFC South, the Texans favored to win the division at plus 135, the Jags at plus 210, the Colts at plus 280, and the Tennessee Titans at 11-1. Last one for you. In your opinion, what was the best free agent signing? Was it Derrick Henry going to the Ravens? Was it Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta? Was it Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles? What do you feel, you know, who do you feel crushed it in free agency?
This is going to sound so boring, but Tyler Biadasz, the center who went from the Cowboys to the Washington Commanders, reuniting with, you know, old, obviously, defensive coordinator, now turned head coach, Dan Quinn. I think getting a good center is massive because you've seen all the tush-push. We just saw the competition committee is keeping that as a legal play for next year. The opportunity for a quarterback, whoever that quarterback is there in Washington, to have a completely new, fresh start with the middle of the O-line short up, that is a huge deal, and they didn't pay too much for it. So it's not the sexiest one in terms of, you know, big name and whatever, but I think that is such a low-key, really, really great signing that we aren't talking enough about that I wanted to give it its shine right here.
Yeah, give a shout out to a dancing bear. They don't get enough respect or enough pub as it is, that's for sure. Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Cynthia, always great having you on. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy March Madness. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Still a lot more coming your way right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Purdue pretty much has sealed the deal against Grambling. No surprise there, is the one seed. They are up 74-48 with about 2 minutes left in the game. Alabama, same scenario with Charleston. Although there were some people who thought that maybe Charleston would pull the upset, another 13 over the four seed, but no, not happening with Alabama. They just always score a lot of points, that Crimson Tide. So they are taking care of Charleston right now, 88-61, with about 9 minutes left in the second half. So we've got Houston and Longwood already in action. Houston's already up 7-0, and James Madison is up 5-2 against Wisconsin. Again, before we, brought in Cynthia Freeland, I told you that's my favorite play tonight, today, actually, in college basketball, was James Madison getting the 5.5 against Wisconsin. I actually, with all the respect to the odds makers, I just felt like the wrong team was favored. So so we've got two more games still left tonight. One is about to tip off momentarily, and that is Utah State. And just like James Madison, I do like Utah State. Not my best bet. James Madison is my best bet tonight, but Utah State. And right now they're getting 3.5, 27-6 on the season, a much more challenging non-conference schedule compared to TCU, okay? Shot 49% from the field this season, 8th best in the nation, ranked 12th in two-point field goal percentage. Defensively, their defense allowed less than 30% from three-point range, which was 3rd best in the country. So they're doing it on one end of the court and not allowing their opponents to do it on the other. Now, they do have a first-year coach in Danny Sprinkle, but he came over from Montana State, who previously had 2 big dance appearances with Montana State. And this is a stat that I really love. You give Sprinkle time to prep. So far this season, 4-0 straight up when playing with 5 or 6 days of rest this season. So all over Utah State, again, getting the 3.5. TCU, not a great three-point shooting team either. So so that's where I stand with Utah State. A little bit later on, we've got our last matchup, and that's coming your way at 10 o'clock, and that's Grand Canyon going up against St. Mary's. I do like Grand Canyon getting the 5.5, 29-4 on the season, 16-0 at home. And they are just a very good defensive squad. St. Mary's definitely has been hot. 9-1 their last 10 games. And they did beat Gonzaga, who looked really good today. Surprised me. I did not have Gonzaga winning. But, or I should say yesterday. But nonetheless, I think this is going to be a close game. Not sure exactly who's going to win, but I'm leaning towards Grand Canyon. So give me Grand Canyon getting the 5.5. Give me Utah State getting the 3.5. And again, hopefully you're already on James Madison. That's now up on Wisconsin 7-2. 7-2. We've got some NBA games that are about to tip off as well at 10 o'clock. You've got the Pacers going up against Golden State. I've got 3 player props that I like in each of these 10 o'clock games coming your way. So the Pacers and Golden State, I like Halliburton over 10.5 assists. He had 9 against the Pistons on Wednesday, and he only played 26 minutes. He's averaging 11 a game in 5 of his last 7. And I do believe that this game is going to be pretty competitive. So I do believe that he's going to play more than 26 minutes. So Pacers, Golden State, give me Halliburton over 10.5 assists. You also have the Clippers going up against the Trailblazers. Zubac, give me over 10.5 points for him. The Trailblazers, no bueno. Not good against centers. 5th most points per game they're giving up to centers. And 3 times the Clippers have gone up against the Trailblazers, and he has averaged 14 points a game, if not more, in each. And then last but not least, you've got the 76ers going up against the Lakers. Tip off for that is at 10:30. And I'm going to go with Maxey under. I've got an under here. It's not typically how I roll, but I've got an under here. Under 3.5 threes. I know he's up there for like the most improved player this year in the NBA. But as of late, only shooting 38% from 3. And the Lakers are actually quite good against small guards. And Maxey, like, how much more gas does he have left in this tank? He's pretty much carrying the 76ers. So I'm going to go Maxey under 3.5 threes tonight against the Lakers. So 3 player props for you. Again, all over James Madison if you could still get in on that game. Love Utah State getting the 3.5. Like Grand Canyon getting the 5.5. And so all of that action is about to tip off momentarily in the next 30 minutes. Okay? Quick break. We come back. We'll do a deeper dive into what the bracket looks like right now and some of the futures bets out there that you could make for the big dance.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.